You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm here with you. Dog Pound, give 10 hours to help your community. That's all we were trying to do yesterday was help the community. But for those of you who tuned into the show after ours, you were disappointed and everybody kind of predicted it. But the $15,000 that were pledged yesterday won't be going to charity. Aaron Goldhammer does not want to step inside the squared circle with the likes of us, Matt Wilhelm. And he called us basically meathead Neanderthals. It wasn't even our suggestion. It was a fan suggestion. But nonetheless, sounds like it won't happen. So if you want to help the community in another way, because Aaron Goldhammer is anti-charity, in this particular case, you can be a part of the Browns First and 10 movement by committing to 10 hours of volunteer service in your community on clevelandbrowns.com. Tell us what you're doing to give back. It's easy. Use the hashtag Give10 on social media to unite us all and inspire others by sharing your Give10 story. You could win the opportunity to be the next Browns coin toss captain on game day. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm with you. We're going to go to the phone lines now, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Let's go to Jeff in California. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, I had a comment about the press conference, and then I had two questions. So my comment is it's kind of frustrating listening because it seems like the reporters never ask the most obvious questions. Nobody's asked about getting outscored 55-3 in the second half and why is that happening, what are you going to do to fix it. No one asked why we abandoned the run last week in the second half, even though it was only a one-score game into the fourth quarter. Nobody asked, why did you stop using Duke Johnson in the second half? Or I think about yesterday's press conference, nobody asked about when he was talking about how they really like their process and that they believe in it. We had the worst run defense last year, and it's even worse this year, if that's even possible. So what about that makes them more confident? So I wish people would ask that question. Anyway, it seems obvious to me anyway. So my two questions are, number one, a couple guys mentioned that the second half last week was an all pass situation, which I don't understand that because it was a one score game. But if it is obvious pass down, wouldn't that be a great time to run because the defense isn't expecting it? And then my other question is, and this is for Matt as a player, I've wanted this for a long time. When a DB or a linebacker is covering down the field on a pass route, how come it seems like you almost never look back to find the ball to either knock it down or intercept? When the ball's thrown, aren't the other defenders yelling like ball, ball, ball? And can't you tell from the receiver's eyes that the ball is coming?
You can. You're right. And to answer that, and we'll go backwards, thank you very much for the call and the comments as well. What we're taught is if you look back too early while covering in man-to-man coverage, what happens is, and it's just common sense, and I know I'm seeing it in my head, is if someone's running in a straight line and they know where they're going, or you're running and you look back, what happens, you'll find it time and time again, the space or the margin between those two players is actually increased because you're slowing down as you look back. And that's why you see so many DBs or linebackers that when in coverage do look for the eyes or the ball call or their hands actually going up. And you see a defensive back trying to insert the hands directly into that pocket. So that's why you see it. You don't want to look back too early. So it really comes down to a lot of timing. And the more you can get out there and cover, the more experience you have and the more tape that you watch on that receiver. Because there are receivers that are so good that they actually go up late with their hands. You know, a young receiver or
flash them.
Yeah, they just flash the hands with the football right there, boom, and it just pops into their hands.
At the last second, you flash and then you dash and you get that cash. Servicemen and women through the studio here today. Great to see you guys. Thank you all for your service and everything you've done for our great country. Coming in and taking the Browns practice right now. It's great to see them in the facility on this Veterans Day. Let's go back to the phones right now. We've got Johnny B. in Pittsburgh. What's up, Johnny B?
Hey guys.
Man to the bone.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, guys.
You got it.
I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you and Matt. You guys bring a professionalism to the media that's incredible. You tell it how it is. You have a very difficult job, and I can never tell you how much respect I have for both of you guys. So,
well, thank you, Johnny.
Getting to that, here's the situation down here in Pittsburgh. It's not everything that the other media, Northeast Ohio, proclaim it is. Matter of fact, you have the guarantee here they will not make the playoffs this year, no wild card at all. And this is a question for both of you guys, and this is sincere. I really feel that they have a chance this week because how Landry Jones is inexperienced. Also, the ego and the Steelers basically taking this team as a joke. Do you really feel that I'm right and we have a chance to rattle Landry Jones and pull off a victory?
I think the Browns have a chance to beat anybody, and they've shown that you know, they were right there with Cincinnati, who's an undefeated team. They were ahead of Arizona, who's first place in the AFC West, 20-10. They were right there going down to the wire in overtime with the Denver Broncos. So they can beat anybody. It's a matter of coming through and delivering for the 60 minutes and doing those little things, turning those little things that are causing you to lose into the little things that are causing you to win. It's a huge break, obviously, to get Landry Jones instead of Ben Roethlisberger. So certainly the opportunity is there. Let's not forget, this team lost 27-30, or 30-27, if you're looking at it from the Steelers' point of view, week one in Pittsburgh, and then beat the Steelers 31-10 in week five last year. So of course they can beat this team, and of course you could come after Landry Jones. He's not Ben Roethlisberger. Now, I still wouldn't be surprised if Ben Roethlisberger decides to suit it up and get out there and do what he can do. But listen, D'Angelo Williams, 170 yards last week, two touchdowns. The last time a running back rushed for 170 yards at his age of 32 or above, do you know who it was, Matt Wilhelm?
Jamal Lewis.
Sweetness, Walter Payton.
Wow.
So that's fairly historic what he's done there. I believe that D'Angelo Williams stopping him, putting the game in Landry Jones' hands is going to be important. Now, also, I should point out Antonio Brown, 284 yards receiving. He's had 100 yards or more each of the last two against the Browns. When the Browns played them last year, Martavis Bryant wasn't in that offense yet. It was after the Browns games that he became a factor. That is a huge addition to this, with Joe Hayden still in the concussion protocol. So you're going to get some Martavis Bryant, raw athlete, size, speed, big plays, home runs. And Landry Jones, as I've said earlier, averaging about 9 yards per attempt. He's been fairly effective lately when getting opportunity.
Yeah, you know, the one thing, as you play a backup quarterback, there's a few factors that go into what you can expect from a backup quarterback. The offensive coordinator is going to want to run the football to take the football out of that backup quarterback's hands and eliminate some of the mistakes he may in fact make, because he's a backup for the reason and is not as comfortable as a starter is, for obviously very obvious reasons. The other thing is, don't be surprised that if in situations that Landry Jones forces the football to their playmakers, and when I say that, Antonio Brown, don't be surprised if Antonio Brown has 14 targets for 9 receptions in this football game. Or a guy like Martavis Bryant, a guy that can go up and win the 50-50 ball, that if Landry Jones, under pressure, not as accurate, or doesn't have the experience that Ben Roethlisberger has, if he takes some chances knowing that his big receiver will go up and get the football. And my whole point in being is, that's become something for us to focus on as the Cleveland Browns defense. And I just don't feel that if you look at a backup in the National Football League, and I think you can use Johnny as an example, you can use, you know, a plethora of other guys that have played in backup roles, is you don't ever see, watching a television broadcast, that a backup quarterback has thrown, you know, 7 completions to 7 different receivers or 15 receptions to 8 different receivers. They're just not that comfortable in the office. They get comfortable in a series of routes that are most likely run by their best players, and they're going to force that football to that player because they're reliable and they're a star player like Antonio Brown for a reason.
Absolutely. 23 targets for Brown, 17 catches, 284 yards in the game against the Oakland Raiders. Amazing. Just an unbelievable performance. Set them up with the game-winning field goal as well on a pass from Landry Jones. If it weren't for Chucky Wood running out there, it would have been a 42-35 final for the Steelers in that one. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Let's go to Phil in Brecksville. Phil, welcome to the show.
Matt, Nathan, you know, when things go bad with me, I always try to say that I'm going to follow the money and see what happens here. And I'd be interested to see what your comments are to this. Look, it's hard to say that this is more directed towards you, I guess, but it's hard to, and I'm just curious, it's hard to say these guys aren't successes in life because they make more money than, you know, less than 0.05% of the people in the
right
world. So they're successes in life, but Mike Pettine's going to get paid no matter what for the next 5 years. I think he makes like $5 million a year. He knows whatever it is, that this fraternity, that even if this doesn't work, he can go get a coordinator job, and he'll still be fine as long as he doesn't piss off any other coaches. The players, you know, I don't understand why some players are millionaires and care about it and winning and others don't, but it's hard for me to say that if I was a Carl Dansby that was 34 years old and, you know, and I've got aches and pains and I'm making $9 million guaranteed, that I need to do that extra thing, that extra block, that put my body at risk to do it. And I believe that if Mike Pettine was not on a guaranteed contract, I believe he would say that there's things he can do to change, like we would in any business. And if these players weren't on guaranteed contracts, they would change too. Am I that far off?
No, you're really not so far off, and thank you very much for the call. And as you were kind of stating your case in regards to the players and coaches, and you referenced Carlos Dansby, who was not making $9 million guaranteed. That was Dwayne Bowe, of course, as we all know. But to reference a guy like both of them, for that matter, in some cases, why guys come to work every day who've made a significant amount of money, and both of those men's cases, both Carlos Dansby and Dwayne Bowe, they haven't won a championship yet. So it's chasing a championship and essentially hanging around long enough to think that you're putting yourself in the right situation to win a championship is what a lot of guys want to do. And then they'll, of course, fade away into greatness. But football and this structure that we live as professional athletes, in some cases, you get very comfortable and you don't ever want to have someone tell you you're not good enough. So you're going to continue to be the competitor that you are to come out here because it's all you know. All we know is football. All we know is structure. All we know is being critical of ourselves and working out and being coached. And there's a fear in some cases of not having that. So that's why guys don't want to say chase the money. They'll chase the ring as long as they can before it's pulled out from under, that rug's pulled out from under them. And then lastly, and I think if you look at Coach Jerry Kill at the University of Minnesota and his press conference and stepping away simply because of his health reasons. And it's that undying love for the game of football and all that comes with it. It's the grass. It's the sweat. It's the blood. It's your teammates. It's the process of watching the film. It's the process of growing and leading men, you know, out to play a man's game each and every Sunday, and in playing in front of 70,000 fans, you know, screaming for your successes, and or 70,000 fans screaming for you to fail.
That's right.
On the other side of the coin. So it's those things that bring you to work every day that when you don't need the money and your body is achy, it's and as we've heard coming out of this locker room to edify some of these comments, Alex Mack and Joe Thomas, while their names were linked to some trade rumors, it's, I'm not a quitter. I'm not ready to give up on my teammates. I'm not ready to give up on the Cleveland Browns. I'm not really to get ready to give up on the dog pound or this city. And that's something that, you know, while that doesn't turn into a win, that's the type of commitment you need to create from 53 men that becomes a winner and a winning mentality.
And it's kind of the chicken and the egg, though, right? To kind of get that mentality, you almost have to be, you got to have it so that you can have it, if you know what I'm saying.
Understand.
All right, let's go to Steve in Oregon. Steve, welcome to the show.
How you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on. We talked about this before the season started, and, you know, we had talked about the O-line having a tough time against the good defensive front, and that's pretty much bared itself out, you know, like against the Jets and against the Rams in Cincinnati, and probably will happen again, you know, Sunday against the Steelers. So, you know, they look like they're getting pushed around. The team looks like it's getting pushed around on both sides of the ball. It looks like it comes down to want to, because you've got these guys, they're all professional players, as you guys have been talking about. They all are supposed to be motivated and committed. They all want to go out and put out, you know, a good product. But they're getting pushed around, you know, they can't stop, you know, the pass. They can't stop the run. They can't run the ball. They can't complete a pass. You know, when does it come down to want to? When does it come down to, I'm sick of this. I want to go out there. I want to take on the man across from me. I want to beat his ass, and I want to win this game. Because we've seen it a few times. We saw it in preseason against Tampa. We saw it against the Titans. We saw it. I was at the game last year against Pittsburgh. We went out and dominated for four quarters, showed them whose house it was, and made sure they knew when they left that they'd been beaten. And, you know, we don't see it much this year. It looks like the team is regressing. It looks like half the time, you know, they don't know what they're doing. It's distressing. And it's almost to the point where, you know, I mean, I've seen it all. Red right, 88, the
sure.
drive, the fumble, all the crap. It just doesn't seem like, hey, anybody gets it or anybody cares or they want to take it on their shoulders and go, okay, look, we're going to turn this around. When does that happen? It's not coming from Farmer and that debacle. It's not coming from Patton. When does it happen? I'm going to let you guys talk. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the phone call. And something that people have been talking to me about in terms of the want to or in terms of, you know, the attitude and what you see out there is people are not happy with after the game players going and shaking hands with the other opponents and hugging and swapping jerseys, et cetera. It happens every game in the NFL now. I don't know if it did when you played, but maybe not the jersey swapping, but certainly you guys would go and, like, talk to people you knew on the other teams, right? Or is that something
becoming a new
phenomenon?
It depends. And I'm just referencing myself, and there were, you know, certain places, certain stops of mine that were a little bit more flex on the amount of time that you could spend out on the field after the football game. After a win, stay out there as long as you want. After a loss, it's go see your people. And the people that I sought out were guys that I played against in the Big Ten, you know, that knew me and I knew them, or other guys that played with me at Ohio State or that came before me at Ohio State. I would always seek out a Buckeye,
sure.
give them some love, pat them on the head. But in some cases, you know, you're living a separate life. You know, what are you, how's your mom doing? How's your dad? How's your kids? You know, what kind of car are you driving? What are you doing after the season? Let's get together. It's no, hey, good game, bud. You know, see you next year. See you next week. You know, talk to you soon. Let's connect. Peace. You shake hands and you go. And I would have, you know, and that you know who you're playing because you're prepping and game planning for them all week, and you're aware of those guys in the league that you played with, against, or at any point in your career. And the guys you want to seek out, and you're going to go pat them on the head, you know, pat them on the butt, and then you get on your way. And when you lost, I know the places that I've been, especially with Marty Schottenheimer, you had a small amount of time after a loss to get your tail back in the locker room because he wasn't happy with losing, A, and he wanted to look you right in your face and tell you he wasn't happy that you lost and why you lost and what we have to fix.
So you have to wait a second for people to come back
yeah.
into the locker
and you
room.
never, and I never was, because like I said, it just wasn't my thing. You never wanted to be the guy, because there's always a team attendant. It's a trainer. It's a video guy. It's an assistant coach that's out on the field kind of corralling that last, you know, few guys in the, you did not, after a loss, want to be one of the last few guys in the locker room. And while we're sitting there quiet, 100 people are in that room, coaches, players, trainers, after a loss, waiting on you because you were swapping a jersey, you know, had a smile on your face, talking to, you know, one of your guys that you played ball with for 7 minutes while we're all sulking and pissed that we lost. And you're just out there having a good time. Like, it just kind of goes to show that it doesn't matter to you.
See, and that's the perception, right, that it doesn't when you're out there and you're laughing, et cetera. And I think it's a different thing. If you're winning, you can go out there and do whatever you want afterwards, and nobody cares. You should be happy.
15 minutes. Why is a coach so willing to give up their star player, who's probably a great leader in that locker room, to come do television 7 minutes after you win? They buzz in the locker room. The message is brief. You let them go. After a win, you can do anything you want.
That's right. After a win, you could do what you want, and those are the ones who you don't worry
about.
And
I know we got to get a break. It's just, I mean, and then, but also, there were times when you lose a close one, you know, or you lose to that rival that you hate, that you have an undying hate for, or you lose a game that matters a lot to you when it comes to projections, playoffs, so on and so forth. You don't go. You still. I love my guys on the other team, former Buckeyes I played with, former teammates. But I'll catch you another time. I'm pissed right now, and I'm walking or jogging my butt into the locker room because I don't want to see anybody else, and I'm just pissed.
That's the kind of competitor I don't even like. If I lose a Madden, I'm unhappy.
Right.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
You suck.
The computer cheated me.
But I just beat you. You suck.
As the computer beat me, you did nothing. All right, we're going to double up our breaks when we come back. I spoke with Johnny Manziel yesterday on the practice field, and we'll have that interview when we return.